Support for NPR and the following message come from Carvana, on a mission to make car buying more convenient and affordable than ever before. In minutes, you can browse thousands of options under $20,000. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to get started.
Hey there, it's the NPR Politics Podcast. I'm Susan Davis. I cover politics.
And I'm Ron Elving, editor-correspondent.
And it's another edition of our politics podcast trivia game. Normally, this would be a bonus episode that only Politics Podcast Plus supporters can hear and play. But since it's the season of giving, today we're sharing this one with everyone.
So if you want more bonus content like this, and you'd like to find out how you can be a contestant in a future politics trivia game, sign up for Plus at plus.npr.org. And of course, by joining Plus, you're also supporting the work of NPR.
Okay, Ron, I think it's time to bring on our contestant. And as always, it's a Plus listener. Welcome to the podcast, and please introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Melissa from Mountain View, California.
What's the best part about living in Mountain View?
The weather. It's beautiful.
Hello, Melissa.
Hello.
We want to thank you for your support. And we hear that you're a parent of a teen who is a competitive Irish step dancer.
Indeed, I am. Yes. He's now almost 17 and has been doing Irish step dancing since he was about 9. And the highlight of that journey was in 2022, he went to the World Championships in Belfast, which was very exciting.
And when you say Irish step dancing, maybe describe it for people who might not know what that is.
So I think most people know it as the dance where your arms don't move.
Is this also like Michael Flatley's Lord of the Dance?
It is exactly like Michael Flatley's Lord of the Dance, although he jazzes it up a little and lets people move their arms more. In competitive dancing, the arms are very important and they cannot move.
Scandalous arm movement.
Yes.
All right, Melissa, let's get ready to play some trivia. We're going to do that right after this quick break.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. 6 big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator for Planet Money podcast on NPR.
Okay, so this is our politics podcast trivia game. Melissa, I'm going to ask you 5 questions. They are all from the past month or so of political news. Ron Elving is going to be here to help you just in case you need a hint or a little bit of help along the way. So thank you, Ron.
Always happy to help.
All right, Melissa, you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, let's get started. Earlier this month, New York's George Santos became the 6th U.S. House member to be expelled from Congress. He is facing multiple federal charges, including money laundering. Our question, though, is about the first 3 representatives ever expelled by the House. What was the reason?
I believe it was because they supported the Confederacy.
Yay!
All right.
Yay.
You know, the answer is all 3 House members were expelled in the same year, 1861, for disloyalty to the Union or actually fighting for the Confederacy. And then before Santos, the most recently expelled House member in more modern times was James Traficant of Ohio. This was in 2002 after he was convicted of multiple crimes, including bribery.
Yeah, I always feel like when you get the first question right, you're off to a good start. So we've set the bar high, Melissa.
Okay.
Question 2. Two distinguished Washington figures recently died, retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor and former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. Both have very long biographies. However, only one of them wrote this book, Lazy Bee, Growing Up on a Cattle Ranch. Who wrote that book?
I think that was Sandra Day O'Connor. Did I get that right?
Yay!
Yes, you did. Sandra Day O'Connor. And, you know, we actually made this question a little trickier than it probably had to be, because the full title of the book is Lazy Bee, Growing Up on a Cattle Ranch in the American Southwest. Okay, so that would have been a bit of a giveaway. And that was the name of her family ranch in Arizona, and she co-wrote the book with her brother.
All right, two on the path to five. Question number three. This past Thanksgiving, we got another turkey pardoning at the White House. Actually, President Biden pardoned two turkeys named after an iconic American symbol. What was the symbol? This one's tricky.
Oh, I'm going to need help with this one, Ron.
Okay. Well, there are two turkeys, two names. But if you put the two names together, they make a phrase. And that phrase would be resonant in Sue's own old stomping grounds of Philadelphia.
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure I know this one. Is it something crazy like Liberty Bell? Oh!
Hey! Wow. Not crazy at all.
And here I thought you were going to say cheesesteak sandwich.
Pat's and Gino's, an iconic duo.
You are correct, Melissa. The answer is Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. One turkey was named Liberty, and of course the other was named Bell. This is actually the third time that President Biden has pardoned a pair of turkeys for Thanksgiving. Last year, the turkeys were named Chocolate and Chip. And in 2021, it was Peanut Butter and Jelly, which at the time, President Biden said he likes for lunch.
Peanut butter jelly is still a good sandwich. I'm gonna defend the president on that one. All right, question number four. It was reported that during a recent closed-door Republican lunch in the Capitol, Senator Rand Paul performed the Heimlich maneuver on a fellow senator who was choking on food. Who was that senator?
Oh, I heard about this. But I don't know her name.
You're close. It was a woman.
Help, Ron.
She is a person who has talked a good bit about food in her career as a senator because she comes from a famous food-producing state.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. This one I don't know. I know the story, but I'm never going to remember her name.
Her first name rhymes with Tony. I'm really trying to give it to you here, Melissa, because you're on a roll.
Rhymes with Tony. Joni something?
Yes.
You're halfway there.
Joni. Oh, gosh. I don't know.
This is going to haunt you the rest of your days.
It is.
I was going to say the last name is a quality that everybody would like to have in their politicians, sort of. I'm playing games with the last name a little bit there.
It's like the importance of being this.
Ernest?
Joni
Ernest?
I would give it to you.
Joni Ernesto? Joni?
Well, her name is Joni Ernst.
Oh.
And she does come from the famous food-producing state of Iowa. And she later thanked Senator Paul on that site formerly known as Twitter. And the incident recalls a similar one from 2018 when Senator Joe Manchin performed the Heimlich maneuver on then-Senator Claire McCaskill when she began choking. She, of course, was a Democrat from Missouri. This was also at a Capitol Hill lunch, which begs the question, what are they serving at these lunches?
You know, Ron, the funny part about the Joni Ernst incident, it was actually Iowa Day for Senate lunches, and she may have choked on some Iowa pork, which is, you know, maybe even good home state politics.
Wow. Well, maybe there was some corn involved. I will say this. It's hard to choke on a peanut butter sandwich.
I remember everything about that story.
Except her name.
Except her name. Yeah.
But now you'll never forget it.
No.
All right, last question. Vice President Kamala Harris recently broke a nearly 200-year-old record. What was it?
Most tiebreakers.
There you go. That is correct.
No hints needed on this one. The answer is casting the most tie-breaking votes in the Senate. Now, this is a sole power situation that the vice president has this special right to break a tie vote. Harris's 32nd tie-breaking vote in this case, and it was to advance the confirmation of a new federal judge. Casting that vote beat the previous record, which was set, oh boy, here it'll be a tough one. You could beat a lot of American history professors with this one. The last record was set by John C. Calhoun.
Wow.
Melissa, congratulations. You got 4 out of 5, but I'm going to say like 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, yeah, got to be 4.5.
And we're going to say you won just by being here, and your prize will be that you get to record your very own timestamp for an episode of an upcoming show.
Excellent.
And before we wrap up, we've already asked you a lot of questions, but Melissa, do you have any questions you'd like to ask us?
I do. So I thought of two. One is a softball and one is more serious. Do you have a preference?
I'll take the softball. You give Ron the hard one.
So the softball is of the people that you have worked with or interviewed in the course of your careers. Who's the person you'd most like to buy a beer?
Oh, gosh, that is hard. Don Gagne. That's going to be my answer.
That's a good one.
I'm thinking of all the people who could use a beer that I've interviewed over the years. But Jimmy Carter or people like that, if you want to go that far back. But one person that I miss here in Washington and I'd like to buy a beer for is Jim Leach, a former congressman from Iowa. He served in Congress a number of years ago as a Republican and was known as someone who had friends on both sides of the aisle, but, you know, so far beyond that, who really had relationships with people in Washington and brought a kind of large-mindedness to everything that he did.
And the hard question.
The hard question is more serious. And Ron, it's probably more relevant to you since you spend more time on college campuses, but I was interested to hear your thoughts around the current questions going on around university freedom of speech and how you're reporting on that.
It's an extraordinarily difficult question, and it is a good time not to be a university president. I think we can all agree.
Yes.
But let us just say that there is no easy way out of this particular question. Mm-hmm. Freedom of expression has never been absolutely limitless. There are forms of expression in certain contexts that are going to need to be restrained in one way or another, and an institution has some rights to protect itself by setting that kind of limit.
I think that these events, when they happen, are good things. And by that, I mean it is good for people living in a healthy democracy to have confrontations and lessons over free speech, over the right to demonstrate, over living with people that have views differently than yours are. And civics lessons can continue, obviously, in your educational life, but throughout your life. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And thank you for listening. And thank you for being a Plus supporter.
You're welcome. This was fun.
All right, that is it for us today. I'm Susan Davis. I cover politics.
And I'm Ron Elving, and I want to say thank you to Melissa as well.
And thank you for listening and supporting the NPR Politics Podcast.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest-growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.